Hey everyone, I think the big ideas for session two I recorded at the airport, and today I'm recording them on my treadmill, so hopefully the audio quality is good enough. So I actually recorded this big idea summary right after session three and had a tech glitch, so now I'm redoing it with the hopes that I can remember what in the world we covered. So during session three, we did an opener that was about fact or fiction. We talked a little bit about the downside of doing things that are like true or false or in the binary because it upholds the white dominant culture. And it's confusing to students because it perpetuates that there's an either or when most of life is a both and. So we did do that just as a purposeful way to make the brain kind of go, which one do I believe more and why? We then opened it up further by telling you a little bit more about us, again, to continue to build relationships and relational trust. Session three was all about delivering virtual PD using innovative technology. And if you left going, I'm not sure I learned anything new that was really technology-based, I'll come back to that in a little bit, but you'll sometimes hear us talk about web-based. Sometimes we'll talk about just how do you redesign a virtual session so that you have access points. And so the technology is sometimes the format and sometimes the strategy. So we had several big ideas that we wanted to do. One, to revisit several things from session two, to give you time to explore our Padlet. And the things that we didn't really get to cover, I'm going to do in this brief summary. So we just talked about the pros and cons of small groups, and you can revisit session two for more on that. We dove into the importance of fun theory and really how what's going on in the brain, not only in terms of novelty and interest and motivation, but how do we make sure that the adults that are with us feel safe, seen, soothed, and secure. And so we talked a lot about the different colored zones, from the red zone and the blue zone, which are hyper and hypoarousal, to the green zone, which is this window of tolerance or where we're resilient and we're open to learning and development. You'll definitely want to check your dashboard because there are many, many links to resources on how can I make adults feel safe, seen, soothed, and secure in the professional development I offer. There's actually a blog at a minimum for each of the four S's. And then we dove into how do we help folks feel seen? And we talked a little bit about understanding the change process, a little bit more focused than you might think in terms of like implementation science or other large constructs, really just getting to the heart of the matter, thinking about how we use person first or identity first language, how we learn to pronounce folks' names, how we be an ally when folks mispronounce or do a microaggression, which we'll talk more about in session four, really finding different ways to have folks share how they want to be called upon, whether that be gender neutral, a nickname, or something that they have to say phonetically so that it can be pronounced correctly. And then we did get into about pronouns. There's a resource on your dashboard from our friend Tony Ferriello, who can talk more succinctly about the microaggressions around gender. And then we said, okay, now we're ready to get into session number three. And we just wanted folks to remember that it's never technology just for technology's sake. Sure, we get motivated as the person who's designing and delivering PD. I guess we do sometimes when we learn new technology, but always remember that you can make the time to really go back and say, okay, even if I'm going to do this fun new thing to me, am I clear about my what and is there alignment? And then speaking of alignment, you want to make sure that you're clear on both matrices. These matrices were something that we published an earlier version in the Topics for Early Childhood Special Education in a volume that I edited or co-edited. And what the matrix is really trying to do is keep you tied to your what. So if you get fancy and you're picking your how before your what, it's fine. You can kind of backwards map it or backwards align it. So let's say you really want to do something like polling or a Voki, or you want to do breakout rooms in a different way. So now you know the app or the web-based technology. Then you want to check it on the one of the two matrices. So one matrix is showing learning outcomes by Zoom features, knowing that Zoom features change all the time. And then another matrix is showing the same outcomes, but for all kinds of web-based technologies, from course management systems to things you might have to pay a lot of money for, to things that are free, to things that are always evolving. So you just want to really think about what's my what? Am I trying to demonstrate key points? Am I trying to do multiple means of representation to give multiple access points? Am I trying to promote self-reflection? When you know your what, then you can use those matrices to find the X marks the spot, and the X marks the spot will help you determine, oh, okay, if I want to do something with reflection, breakout rooms might be an option. Polling might be an option. And a dry erase board might be an option. So you really want to think about making that alignment. So you might even pause this audio recording and head on over to your dashboard and make sure you can find both matrices, one that does the Zoom app feature alignment to outcomes and one that's many, many pages long that talks about all types of web-based technologies. And then we always come back to our mix of six. If that's easier for you to think about your what and knowing that you're trying to go for the diagonal. So if you have a lot of learning how to learn types of things, which can kind of be loosely tied to things that are around compliance because there's a certain way we need folks to participate or engage or do something, then we really need to pair that with connection. And even if something feels like it's already quite away from academia or professionalism, and Julie will cringe at this, something like vision boards, even with vision boards, we can easily tie this to outcomes like, okay, why am I having folks create a vision board? That's my how. I learned about it on the Padlet. Okay, then my outcomes might be to share and organize text, might be for self-reflection, and it might be multiple means of representation of an idea, concepts, or skill. So we're really getting at things that can be about application. They can be things about caring, emotional intelligence. There's all kinds of things embedded in vision boards when we look at our what before how. And then we didn't get much into the part about Rob Bell's conversation in terms of the other way we can look at technology when we're designing PD, and that's the place in which we gather. So it might not be so much that we are using web-based tools, but we are actually gathering virtually. And so when we have to think even more about what is this setting doing? Who am I communicating with? And what do I have for or against the topic? Rob Bell talks a lot about that we are the medium. So regardless of whether we're in person or virtual, the content is coming through us. Even if it's asynchronous, we designed it. We delivered it and recorded it earlier, just like I'm doing with this audio recording. So what is my message? What is my thought about this? Is the passion that I have coming through? Is the boredom that I have coming through? Do I feel like I have a little bit of anger or resentment as well about this topic? Do I feel like I understand where the learner's coming from? So we really want to think about that we're always the medium and that we want to be able to design and deliver content, even when it's virtually, through a medium that helps the learner feel successful and connected. And then we shared pretty quickly some pitfalls to avoid, and I'll restate them because I think they're worth remembering. So whenever possible, try not to teach alone. Remember, you can always use participants as co-teachers. You can use the environment as a co-teacher. And if you're Julie, you can even use a rubber chicken. So try to always think about where and who and how can you co-teach. Then you want to think about, how am I opening this up in a way that is getting neurons to fire, that tells them this is going to be fun and engaging, that sort of shows and shares what some of your community agreements are without starting with those kind of housekeeping things. We also want to try not to end with housekeeping things. You want to end on a note where people feel connected to you, to one another, and the content. We always believe in choice, as you know, and that includes cameras on or off. So if you do have to support learners where maybe in their environment, it is required that they have their cameras on. You can either talk to your host ahead of time and see if there's wiggle room on it. You can also say to folks, where's their choice within the choice? Maybe it's on most of the time, but certainly allowed to be turned off if they need to deal with something, step aside, or if they have screen fatigue. We always want to prioritize connection over compliance. So even if your job is to design and deliver compliance rules and regulations for the feds or for the state or for the region or the province, you want to really make sure that you're adding some sort of why in there. Why does it matter to them, which isn't a threat or fear of removal of licensure or removal of funding and so forth. Try not to have all the answers. Again, that's the great thing about co-teaching and or co-teaching with participants and inviting the community to problem solve. And then again, using technology just because. And then we just went to close it up, reminding ourselves that we want to do this in fewer than 5 minutes. Rob Bell sometimes calls this last call, so people know that it's going to close up, that it doesn't feel like we're just all of a sudden done. This is probably my weakest area of design. I often let the clock make the decision for me. I usually cringe at giving time for reflection because people are halfway packed and out the door. But it's really helpful to give them an opportunity to re-enter. So you can think of closings, especially if you have a multiple day or multiple hour event. How do you close up a big idea so that they can re-enter and start the next big idea? So we've given you some ideas for closing, and then we'll do the same in session 4, where we'll talk more about how you might close things up, how they can mirror your opening, and a few other tricks of the trade, if you will. So, hope that's helpful.